Let us turn to the Epistle of Jude and we read verse 20. Jude, the 20th verse. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Last week we saw that Jude gives us a safeguard against the false teachers. First part of verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Becoming strong in the faith will protect us from the error the false teachers are spreading. Christians built up in the truth are too strong to be influenced by heretics. However, notice the second half of the verse, praying in the Holy Ghost. We're not surprised this comes in here, because to be edified by the word, you need prayer, don't you? As well as the hearing of it, the reading of it, you need to receive it prayerfully. Otherwise, it's not going to do us any spiritual good. We need to ask for divine teaching. We need to ask that it might be made profitable to our souls. We need to ask that we are enabled to be doers of the word. And so praying, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying. It's interesting that the apostles, when they summed up their ministry, Acts 6 and verse 4, they even reversed that order and said, we will give ourselves unto prayer and to the ministry of the word. Those two things belong together. However, this expression, praying in the Holy Ghost, it can stand on its own as well. And I want us to look at it in that way. It's a wonderful expression, praying in the Holy Ghost. There's building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's a unique expression in the New Testament. There's not another like it, but the truth of it is found everywhere. And it's telling us that you need the Holy Spirit truly to pray, as surely as you need the Holy Spirit truly to be blessed and built up through the Word. In what sense do we pray in the Holy Spirit? What does this mean in experience? Well, we can give some answers to this. Firstly, concerning our praying, the Holy Spirit grants us acceptance. Praying in the Holy Ghost can only be acceptable in prayer as you pray in the Spirit. Now that might seem at first strange to us, because we are used to thinking that anything acceptable must be through Christ. And of course that is true. Ephesians 1 verse 6, accepted in the Beloved, our persons, prayers, worship, service, everything. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And of course that is so. As to mediation, it's through Christ, isn't it? He removes sin and he renders worthy what we offer to God. But there is something in addition. Praying in the Holy Ghost, if prayer is to be acceptable to God. In this sense, that to pray acceptably to God, You've got to pray like, with like. Now, God is a spirit, and you must come, therefore, as a prayer in the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you see, the prayers of unregenerate people are in the flesh and can't be acceptable to God in that sense. They neither have a mediator in Christ, nor do they have compatibility with God as they are. Verse 19, you see, sensual, having not the Spirit. God, who is a spirit, can have nothing to do with the flesh, raw human nature, fallen and corrupt. There's nothing that can be at all in common. God will not own prayer that does not come of the Holy Spirit, and only a regenerate person can pray in the Holy Ghost, in that compatible way. So you must have the Holy Spirit to pray acceptably to God. Now, we know this begins at conversion, doesn't it? The great change brings about this wonderful compatibility. And isn't it interesting in Acts 9 verse 11, where you've got Saul of Tarsus conversion. The first news we have of him after that dramatic arrest on the Damascus Road is in the house of Judas in the street called Straight, where the Lord directs Ananias to him. How will he identify him? Behold, he prayeth. He's become compatible. And of course, he will have prayed, in inverted commas, so much before as a Pharisee, wouldn't he? He would have said prayers. And in fact, our Lord in Mark 12, verse 40, condemns the Pharisees who for a pretense make long prayers. Well, he would have prayed and prayed and prayed in that way. But now, behold, it's a wonder he prayeth. He's praying in the Holy Ghost now. He's regenerate. He's got the Spirit. He can pray. God can look upon him, receive his praying, product of the Holy Spirit. And without that, you cannot pray acceptably. So at very least, you see, it's talking in this fundamental way, isn't it? That to be able to pray, you've got to be converted. To pray acceptably, you must have the Spirit. For God is a Spirit, and they that worship him and pray to him must do so in spirit and in truth. So what a marvellous thing that real praying is something that can be done, not just by certain Christians, but by any real Christian who is not now in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So that's the first thing then. The Holy Spirit, be praying in the Holy Ghost in the sense of acceptance. The second is this, in the sense of assurance. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How vital assurance is for prayer, isn't it? To be really sure of your position before God. And to be really certain of how he is disposed towards you as you come to him and seek to pray to him. If you haven't got assurance, if you are not clear about how he views you, not clear about whether he's pleased with you or not, then that short circuits prayer. And you feel so discouraged, and it's something you hardly can even begin to do. You need assurance. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit wonderfully gives that assurance and enables you to feel that you have a warrant and an ability to come to God, and you can be sure of that. One way he does it, of course, and you're probably already anticipating this, Romans 8, verse 15 and verse 16. The Spirit of adoption. whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifieth with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you see, God in giving us the Holy Spirit is really saying, I reassure you that you are my child, and I am your heavenly Father, and I want to hear your voice, and I want you to come to me in prayer, and I want to reassure you that all is well. You see, a child on a human level doesn't think it remarkable that he can talk to his dad, does he? A child never ever stops and thinks, this is amazing. I can actually talk to one who's my father, and he listens to me and he talks to me back. It's never like that, because he's aware of the relationship, that the communication is so natural. It's no great thing. There's no hesitation about it, is there? He just steps straight forward and goes to his dad and speaks to him. And the younger the child, the more simple and childlike the joy of it. It's not so for everybody else, but it is for a child, for that father's child. It's his positive right, because he is the child, that the father is like this to him and he's like the father. So there's access, isn't there? There's confidence, boldness even, as well as due respect. And this is what God wants us to feel and know in the giving of the Holy Spirit. And really, it is only the ministry of the Spirit to our hearts that can make us feel that this is so. Because we are such unbelievers. Grace is too good to be true. A father's goodwill and love is hard to believe. And given our sinfulness and unworthiness, these things somehow don't really come into us, do they, and impact upon us, so that we are lacking assurance often, lacking confidence, and it discourages prayer. But you see, the Holy Spirit has a way, a ministry inwardly upon our hearts, whereby he gives us an inward knowledge and sense of God's love to us. In a previous chapter, chapter 5 of Romans, it speaks about the Holy Spirit who is poured out. The Holy Spirit pours out the love of God into our hearts to make us to feel that God loves us. It's put similarly in Galatians 4 verse 6, where it says, if you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the very Holy Spirit who is one with Christ, the Son of God, is in the hearts of believers, one with us, to give us to feel our sonship. And that seals to us our adoption, praying in the Holy Ghost, feeling warmed and comforted and encouraged and drawn by the Holy Spirit coming to one who is a father. So we're not surprised to find in Psalm 103, as we sang earlier, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. You see, pity is love, isn't it? And it's tenderness, and it's feeling for us. And he knows our frame, he remembers we are dust, and his great gift of the Spirit is in order that we might come as children to a father to pray to him, praying in the Holy Ghost. Perhaps we don't ask for the help of the Spirit enough in our prayers, especially the ministry of the Spirit in this experimental way, to make us feel we are God's children. Now, there should be nothing that need keep us from enjoying this. If sin is confessed, if you come in childlike faith, if you come with simplicity, then the Holy Spirit ministers to us and draws us as children to the Father. And so this keeps us from praying in a formal manner, doesn't it? Saying prayers. You see, a sense of the living, loving relationship, it kills any formality and coldness when you really feel that you can pray as a child of God. And when you're really helped to pray as a child of God by the Spirit of adoption, you won't want to have a prayer book. You won't want words given you. You may well like to use expressions from such helps to sharpen your thoughts. Ah, but it'll be fervent, won't it? It'll be heartfelt praying. It'll be really talking to one whom you know is listening and who loves you and you love him. And there's real communion and fellowship with God. The Holy Spirit producing and exciting these graces Godward from our hearts. You see, Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How much joy is there in praying? There is a joy in praying. When experimentally you pray in the Holy Ghost, with an assurance that you can be glad and blessed in his presence, and that the Lord is toward us in goodwill, and he loves those who love him. So assurance is the thing too. Again, how different from the Pharisees with their self-righteousness, and the more prayer, the more merit, the longer the prayers, the more they'll get in return. No assurance. And really the best kind of praying is the praying that doesn't take account of the time or the situation, whether long or whether brief. It's quality, isn't it? Quality time, quality prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes half a minute of real Holy Ghost prayer can be more efficacious than an hour struggling formally. Assurance is praying in the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Sometimes, in exceptional cases, the Holy Spirit will draw out people for hours on end in prayer. But it won't be that they're looking at their watch to try to get the maximum prayer time out of it and feeling more pleased the longer the time goes on. But you see, they're taken over, aren't they? And something's happening. As they began to pray in Jesus' name, viewing God as their Father, relying upon the Holy Spirit enlightened them and enlivened them and enabled them, and they were drawn out, wonderfully enlarged in their hearts. We know a little of this sometimes, don't we? And it's a blessed thing when we do. And when we've finished and we notice the time, we're quite surprised that it was so long. It seemed but 2 minutes. Oh, it was real. Wonderful. I know that sometimes prayer does lack assurance, and prayer moves very heavily and with great difficulty. And sometimes we get up from our prayer time and feel, have I really prayed at all? Well, that's not for you to say. That's for the Lord to say. If there's sincerity in it, we've not always enjoyed the same assurance and comfort. But who knows, it might be that in the Lord's eyes, that prayer was very precious because it was sincere. And we aimed to be spiritual, didn't we? So you can't always tell. There's a sovereignty in this. Who knows? Tomorrow's prayer might be remarkable and unforgettable. The next day's prayer, we're almost thankful to be able to forget it. But the Lord knows. Assurance. Praying in the Holy Ghost. One further thing. Acceptance, because we're spiritual. Assurance, because the Holy Spirit seals to us our adoption. And thirdly, assistance. Praying in the Holy Spirit. We need to be helped to pray. We are maimed in Adam, and all the weakness of our corruptions, of all of them, prayer seems to have suffered the most, doesn't it? Of all the things we long to do, and of all the things we seem to fail at the most, prayer is one of the main ones. And that's why the Holy Spirit has been given to help us. How does he help us? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, one thing he does is this. He helps us to pray with a suitable brokenness. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, speaks of praying in the Holy Ghost being salted with confession. You know what salt does to a wound? It stings, but it cleanses. And you see, salted with confession of sin. You think of David's prayer in Psalm 51. Have mercy, O God, upon me, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies and thy great loving kindness and all the rest of it. It's a broken prayer, isn't it? And in verse 11 he says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. As if to say, it's only by the Holy Spirit that I can know this repentance and this brokenness, this godly sorrow. And so it is. But the Holy Spirit produces this in us. And sometimes, you see, if you can do no more than be crying because of your sin, no more than feeling broken and heartbroken over sin, that is very precious to God. In fact, that very same psalm says, the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite spirit, and that he will not despise. Too much praying is controlled and not with enough sense of sin and unworthiness and enough repentance and confession. And while it shouldn't all be that, because of course we have to have the comfort and the assurance, yet it's a blessed thing to have that, isn't it? To pray with suitable brokenness. And if you find that in prayer you get deeper views of your own depravity and corruptions, and you feel more unworthy the more you pray, well, that is the Holy Spirit revealing things in order to make you feel how precious is his grace. And oh, the love of God in Christ that cleanses you from sin and receives you graciously. Suitable brokenness. I don't know about you, but I do find that in my own experience, if there has been an extra measure of confession of sin that I felt extra deeply and keenly, and a spirit of brokenness, I find that the rest of praying comes a lot easier and travels very readily then. It's almost as if somehow a threshold has been crossed A point has been reached, which has been perhaps difficult until now, but you break through that, and you're broken down, and then suddenly it's almost as if you take off in prayer. There's this wonderful ministry of the Spirit convincing us of our sins as believers, and leading us to Jesus' blood as believers, and tasting the sweetness of forgiveness and grace and his great love to us as believers. And then we seem to take off, the wings are spread, and we soar a little in prayer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. No one finds prayer easy. No Christian ever finds it straightforward. No problem at all. But certain it is that when there is this aspect of brokenness, there is then this greater freedom and liberty and enjoyment in prayer. I remember we had in our previous church an elderly deacon called Mr. Strong, and he was a deeply exercised godly man, and it reminds me very much of Mr. Kimmett, really. These two are very like in as men, similar age and depth and experience and so on. And in the prayer meetings and in praying with me before the service, he would often pray, "Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from us." Great sense of the need of the Spirit. And his praying, very childlike, and a vein of felt unworthiness throughout, but humble trust in Jesus' blood and the mediation of the Redeemer. To pray with suitable brokenness. And then another assistance is this, that he helps us to pray in faith. And of course, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There is the prayer of faith, which is the Holy Spirit's work to work in us. In James chapter 1, we read this, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But this is it, verse 6 of chapter 1. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I find that very challenging. Wavering in faith, unstable and tossed and affected, and won't receive anything of the Lord. Double-minded, you see. On the one hand, asking for something and believing, and on the other hand, hardly able to believe that God will answer prayer. And we forfeit things. We're unstable when we're like that. But you see, the Holy Spirit helps us to believe and to be strong in faith. And surely in those very same verses, we have a clue as to what the Holy Spirit does, because in verse 5, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And the Holy Spirit would say to you in effect, look, this is the God that you're praying to, the God that you're asking for wisdom of, or anything else that you need from him. God that giveth to all liberally, generously, that means, and upbraideth not. He's so willing for you to come, and so more ready to give than you are to ask, that he won't upbraid you, he won't rebuke you if you come, won't make you feel bad for asking, won't weary of your often coming. Generous and more than willing. Well, isn't that a help to faith? And the Holy Spirit, you see, will teach us that, make us to feel that it is true. God saying to us, what are you waiting for? I have all this to give. And I promise you, if you come, I won't turn you away. And then the other thing that the Holy Spirit will focus our faith upon is this. The promise, of course. And it shall be given him. Well, God's shalls and his wills, they're a great help, aren't they, to faith? If God promises, he's bound himself to performing, and faith lay holds upon it and says, Lord, thou hast said. And oh, I do need wisdom. Perhaps more than anything else, I do need wisdom. And it shall be given him. Ask in faith. He will honour his word. So pray in faith. And then thirdly, to guide us regarding what to pray for. Of course, Romans 8:26, isn't it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us, groanings which cannot be uttered. And there is a guidance, a leading of the Spirit in our praying, isn't there? Strengthening us in our weaknesses, guiding us to the right things to ask for. And you can't necessarily say how that happens, can you? Because it's not a mechanical thing, or even a predictable thing. It's an inward and a spiritual thing, whereby as we're in prayer, the Holy Spirit strengthens and he lays certain things upon our minds to ask for and guides us perhaps like this, that when we feel a liberty in asking, that suggests that we're on the right track. When we feel a real blockage and as if a brick wall is in front of us, suggests we're on the wrong track. But you see, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Spirit helps our infirmities, leads us, guides us, indicts us. Praying in the Holy Ghost, we feel that we have been led to pray and ask for the right thing. And there are some issues, aren't there? You just don't know what is the right thing to ask God for. But yet you know you've got to ask for something, because otherwise it'd be presumptuous, wouldn't it? But what do you ask for? This or that? That God should do one thing or I should do the other? Oh, for wisdom, you see, guidance. We're too weak, aren't we? Infirmities. Ah, praying in the Holy Ghost. He'll lead us. He'll help us. Quickly, as we draw to a close, fourthly, to pray perseveringly. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Where we read this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance. Ah, it's hard to persevere in prayer, isn't it? Perhaps particularly asking for the same thing each day, and it's not yet been given you. Not perseverance in the sense of praying for 2 hours rather than 10 minutes. I mean praying perseveringly for the same thing, asking for the same thing. But you see, the Spirit will help us and keep us from thinking that I'm wasting my time here. Vain repetitions. I'm asking for the same thing every day. Nothing's happened yet. Must mean that I'm not to have it. Not at all. Not necessarily. Delays are not denials, are they? Until the Lord does put that brick wall in front of you and say no, in effect, while ever you feel a liberty, whatever you feel it's right, ask on for that same thing, that person's conversion, or whatever it is that's been laid there upon your heart. praying all prayer and supplication in the Spirit with all perseverance. And not only once a day, but three times a day if you like. But give the Lord no rest until he answer. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I think George Muller prayed for 20 years for one of his friends to be converted. And then he was only converted at George Muller's funeral when he stood at the graveside and it came home to him what a great friend he'd lost. But then he thought to himself, I'm lost. I'm not going to go where George Muller has gone and his soul. But you see, he was enabled, wasn't he, George Muller, to pray in the Spirit perseveringly. And fifthly, to pray unselfishly. Because Ephesians 6:18 again, for all saints. Oh my, it's easy to pray for yourself, isn't it? How many prayers are for oneself? Well, necessarily, of course. But, oh, to intercede for others. For all saints, the Holy Spirit overcomes the natural selfishness and makes our hearts go out to the needs of others and leads us to pray for them, to name them before the throne of grace. Lord, help so and so. Come in for that other person. Lord, remember such and such. Praying for all saints, those who are ill, sick, those who are afflicted, those who are in need, those who aren't converted yet, whatever, for all saints, those who serve the Lord and need grace to serve and so on. Assistance, you see, in these things. Isn't it wonderful, dear friends? We're not left to ourselves in prayer. It's not a lonely venture to come before a God about whom we're uncertain. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Whoever makes us think about Jesus through whom we come and about God our Father to whom we come. May the Lord help us then and grant that our prayers may be truly spiritual, even though to us they may seem far from that. But may the Lord know our praying and accept it. And give us assurance and give us the assistance for his name's sake. Let us sing together hymn 386.
Jesus, the sovereign Lord of all, the same through one eternal day. Attend thy heedless followers call, and go instruct us how to pray. Pour out the supplicating grace, and stir us up to Spirit. God.